Hebrews chapter 11, we'll read verses 1 to 6. And if I could ask everyone, please, to be on your feet with me as we read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 6. Let's read these all together, please, at the same time. And reading verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thank you for standing and reading with me Hebrews 11. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Father God in heaven, we just thank you so much, Father, for your goodness and for this time that you've guided us once again to learn of you. We pray, Father, that you would bless our time together. May you move in our midst, Lord. Help us to feel your presence. And may you remove all distractions in our midst, that we would fully concentrate on what you have for us today. Again, Father, we just commit the rest of the hour unto you. May everything that is said and done give you honor and glory. For all this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So Hebrews 11 is one of those special passages that brings together all of the major teachings in one subject and in one place. What is it? Faith. You see, there's other chapters in the Bible that are specially about one topic. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, for example. What is that? What he's talking about? 1 Corinthians 13. Charity or love, right? What about 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Resurrection, right? All right, so resurrection. So, and this Hebrews 11 is actually dedicated towards faith and examples that we can see in the Bible of men and women that have shown faith. Okay? Now, when we talk about faith, what do you understand by it? What do you understand by faith? You can give me a biblical definition if you want, but what is faith to you? Sorry? Believing in God's word, okay? Okay, it's an example of faith. Hope is, right? Yes. That's an interesting definition, right? And I've read this somewhere, but it says faith is not possibility thinking, but faith is in inevitable thinking. Think about that, right? And that's the hope that we have in the Word of God, that we know it's going to happen, but the thing that we don't know is when it will happen. That's the hope, right? And the same thing with the faith that we're talking about here. Now, in verse 1, it says there, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is he talking about here? The substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. What is that? So we know that in this verse, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, we have the Word of God, right? We have the Word of God. Now, do we believe the Word of God and all its promises? All right? Have we actually experienced some of the promises that God has said, or some of the, the prophecies that has not happened yet? Although there are a lot of prophecies that has already happened. Now, do we believe that it's going to happen in the future? Okay? So that's exactly what it's talking about. It's the substance of things hoped for. Guess what? This is the substance right here. Right? Because it talks about everything that we need to know. In the latter days, for example, we know that it's prophesied what's going to happen. And do we believe that? Do we believe that we will be raised with those that are dead in Christ and meet Christ in the air? We don't know that, but do we believe it? Right? So, again, the Word of God says so. It is going to happen, right? And it actually gives us the very detail of how that will happen. And the evidence of things not seen. If you don't see it, do you have an evidence? You see, sometimes we're like Thomas, aren't we? The doubting Thomas. You know what he said in, I guess that's in Luke chapter number, or John 20, right? It's the doubting Thomas, he said, "I don't believe, but unless I see the print his hands and touch his side, I won't believe it." Right? So basically, sometimes that's what we are. Unless we see it, we won't believe it. Right? But the thing is, the faith is not having to see it, and yet you believe. In John chapter 20, let's go there, please. John chapter 20 in verse 24. It says there, "But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them," here it is, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side," what did he say? "I will not believe." Right? "And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you." And in verse 27, it says, "Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold thy hands, my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless," but what? "But believing." But believing, it's interesting. It's interesting, right? So even if we don't see it, we still believe it. There's a saying that says, if I see it, I believe it. But it's actually more than that. I will believe if I see it, but even if I don't see it, I believe it, right? That's the opposite of what Thomas said here. But when he saw the Lord, what happened? Right away he believed, right? And blessed are those that, and the Lord said, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed," right? So, we don't see God, but do we believe God? All right? So that's exactly what faith is all about. Now, in verse 6, Hebrews 11:6, it says there, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. It is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, it says there, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He is what? That he is God. But the thing is, how do we know? If we don't know God, how do we know that what he can do? Right? It says there, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Must believe that he is God. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, it's that faith, right? That we believe that God, what God can do. God is able to supply our needs. Do we believe that? God can forgive us our sins. God can take care of us. Right? Do we believe that? But he said this, he that cometh to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Folks, if we come to God, God answers. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Right? So we do not come to God in futile, that hoping that God answers. But definitely in our minds, he's already answered. Right? That is what we call faith. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, faith is essential. Faith is essential because we cannot please God without faith. Faith is essential. The words faith and believe are mentioned, by the way, 771 times in the Bible. 771 times in the Bible it's mentioned. Jesus often reproved his disciples for lack of faith. Right? For lack of faith. And therefore, faith is essential, especially in salvation. You cannot be saved without faith. Right? You have to have that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? The Bible says in Acts, it says there that repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And so those two go together, go hand in hand. And so faith is essential. Secondly, faith is based on God's word. Faith is based on God's word. It says there, let's go to Romans 10:17, please. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. So faith is simply believing in God's word. That is the most important fact about faith. You see, let's consider in verse 7, it says there, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is of faith. Now, this is emphasizing what the writer said in verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, when Noah built the ark, he has never seen rain. He doesn't know exactly what did this, right? But he built it anyways. He built it anyways. That's exactly the faith that he had towards God. It's simply believing God's word. Hebrews 11:8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. And also, when he actually offered his son Isaac, he was just about to offer, right? Isaac said, in Genesis chapter 22, Isaac said, "Behold, here's the fire and the wood. But where's the sacrifice?" But where's the sacrifice? Here's where Abraham actually has proven his faith. He said, "God will provide a lamb." Did it come true? Genesis 22. Let's go there, please. Genesis 22, starting in verse 8. Verse 6. "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb." So even before he actually offered Isaac his son, he already knew that God will provide. Right? And that's exactly the faith that we should have in God. Right? He promised us. He's already, we have the word of God. He promised us, and yet we should not even doubt. Because if you have faith and doubt, do you have faith? Faith actually, there's no doubt in faith, is there? Because if you doubt, there's no more faith. Yes, everybody has doubts, right? Everybody has doubts. But the thing is, unless we experience, you see, we should have that faith like a child, right? We should have that faith like a child. This one church, one day, there was a long drought in the area, okay? And the pastor said, "Let's get together at 6 o'clock tonight and let's pray for rain." Okay? So everybody came that night, and this one girl that came had an umbrella with her. And when she came with an umbrella, everybody was laughing at her. Right? Everybody was laughing at her. Why? What do you need the umbrella for? It's not going to rain. Guess what? There's no more faith. Right? They never believed. Okay? And this and another example is this guy, when he, before, he had nothing to eat. But he sat down at the table and prayed. Right? And prayed. When he opened his eyes, hoping that there's food there after he prayed, and there was nothing. There was no food. And what did he say? "I thought so." Right? "I thought so." So that means there's no faith. There's no faith. And God wants us to come to him in faith, believing that what he has promised, we will receive. We will get. Right? What we have asked for, we will receive. Okay? And that's faith. Faith is simply believing God's word. Okay, so faith is essential. Faith is also, it's based on the word of God, right? Biblical faith is not blind, though. It has evidence and it has substance. Okay, and that God's word itself, which is based upon many infallible proofs, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, this is in contrast to the faith that the world has, which has been based upon nothing substantive, right? So what is their faith versus our faith? Now, biblical faith does not come by miracles or by feelings are by mystical experiences, right? So if we see a miracle, then we believe. That's exactly that's the default for man, right? Once they see, and so I think the reason why we don't see these things anymore, the ark, everything that the Old Testament says about God, right? We don't see it because if we see them now, what happens? Worship. We will worship. We will worship them, right? And so that takes the faith out of God, right, into this, what he's done, right? And so we don't believe in miracles that faith come by miracles. No, it doesn't, right? Faith is given to us, okay, according to the measure of his faith, right? So Abraham told the rich man in hell that if men do not believe in God's word, they will not believe in that someone who would return from the dead, right? He said they have to believe the Bible, the word of God, okay? So faith is essential. Faith is based on God's word. And thirdly, faith steps out in obedience. Faith steps out in obedience. In Hebrews chapter number 8, it says there, 11:8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out in the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. The key word here is obeyed. And obeyed. Guess what? That's exactly what our theme for this year, trust and obey. Right? Trust and obey. Trust in what God can do. Trust in what God has promised, and then our part is to obey that thing, right, that God has told us to do. So that faith is based on God's word. Based on God's word means that the Bible is essential for our Christian living. Now, if we want our faith to grow, what must we do? Read the word of God. Right? Read the word of God and study the Bible. And guess what? In Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's why we all come to church. We just don't read our Bibles at home. Right? If that's all that God has asked us, we don't have to come to church. But guess what? We have to come to church and hear the word of God. Right? And so we don't just stay at home and read our Bibles, because everybody can do that. But we are also commanded in Romans 10:17 and hearing by the word of God. Right? That's why we have our pastors, missionaries, right? Faith steps out in obedience. True faith is not something that is just in the mind and heart. It is something that acts on God's word. James said that faith without works is dead. James chapter 2. Let's go there, please. James chapter 2 and verse 26. Where it says, "I will show me your works by your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." Okay, 18. Yea, a man may say, "Thou hast flesh of that thou faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Okay, and so it is important that when we get saved, when we are saved, we need to show our faith. That's our testimony, isn't it? We need to show our faith to people so that they can say, well, we have faith. That's our proof that we are saved. Do it, okay, our good deeds. We don't do good deeds because we want to be saved. We do it because we're already saved, right? And so that's a step of obedience. Is James teaches us that faith without works is dead, and it is not. In James chapter 2, verse 26, faith steps out to develop godly habits. Let me give you an example. Godly habits is church attendance, isn't it? Church attendance. If we have faith, guess what? We come to church. What about reading your Bible, reading our Bibles? What about praying to God? Isn't this faith? It's developing our good habit, right? We go to God in prayer, okay? And we come to church in fellowship with our brethren and learn more about God. And we read the Bible because we have faith. We want to know exactly what God says. And we can claim that promise. For example, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? You see, the church, I'm sure God has already prepared a place for us that when we're done here in this building, God will take us somewhere we can worship God and have fellowship with each other. Folks, all that we need to do is claim it by faith. God has already prepared us a place. We just have to claim it from him, right? And that's stepping out in faith. Faith steps out when God calls, right? Faith steps out when God calls. Jesus warned about putting off the call of God, right? Let's go to Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Fifty-nine to 62 says, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, what is God telling us here? We need to have our priorities straight, right? We need to have our priorities straight. If he says this, then we need to do it. We don't have any alibi. We don't have any excuses. We can't give God excuses because he's already done his part, right? He saved us out of that straight way to hell. But guess what? He took us into that narrow path to heaven, right? So faith steps out in obedience. Fourthly, faith looks beyond this life. You see, our faith is that, we talked about hope earlier, okay, that our hope is in the glorious coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And guess what? Our faith looks beyond this life. That we have received eternal life from God, from Jesus Christ. And guess what? That eternal life does not start when we die. That eternal life starts when? Right when you get saved. Right? Right when you get saved. So if you have the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you've accepted him in faith, guess what? Now you have eternal life. That life, although it gets puffed out, right? We die physically, but we'll never experience a second death. which the book of Revelation talked about, right? The second death, okay? And so faith looks beyond this life. It's not just here, but guess what? When we trust God, it carries on until we spend eternity with Him in heaven, right? Faith is also tested in verse 17, 11, 17. Hebrews 11, 17. It says there, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Faith is always tested, folks. It is tested to see if it is real, and if it is tested, it is tested to purify it. We see this in the lives of the Jews in the wilderness, in the book of Exodus, chapter number 4 and chapter number 5. Faith is tested as soon as an individual believes in Christ. As soon as, you see, folks, sometimes when we decide to do something for God, that's when the devil works double time, isn't it? But guess what? Faith always, you see, we haven't actually tested our faith here. Unlike those in the communist countries, where the gospel is not openly preached, right? They get together hiding, right? So we haven't actually tested our faith yet. Not much. But the thing is, faith is always tested. Let me ask you a question. If somebody comes here and points his machine gun towards us, and he says, renounce your faith, will you renounce it? That happened to other countries, Christians in other countries, right? But see, we haven't had the chance to prove our faith. But when that happens, when our faith is tested, will we have success in proving our faith? Faith is tested as soon as an individual believes in Christ. And there's a process of testing and strengthening throughout the Christian life. Faith is tested each time a step of faith is taken. Faith is tested. Sometimes when we decide to attend church faithfully or even to read our Bible regularly, guess what? There's some stuff that goes on that takes us away from that fulfilling that decision, right? And so when that time comes, are we going to be true to what we have said we would do, right? So faith is always tested. And guess what? It is something that's being done until we get to heaven. Right? Something that we can show our faith. Because guess what? That faith, that might change. When persecution comes, that might change. And so we need to stand true to our promise that we will be faithful regardless of circumstances. Faith gives us courage. 11:23. It says there, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So it gives us courage. Life is full of fears, but faith in Christ overcomes fear. By the way, fear, I would say fear is the absence of faith, isn't it? And therefore, fear for me is faith essentially absent in reality. Because you have that fear because you don't have that faith. Right? And so faith gives us that courage. We don't have to fear any problem or any situation because God is on our side. He has promised us that He's never to leave us nor forsake us. We don't have to fear for food and clothing. because God will provide, right? God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, right? We don't have to fear for old age, by the way. I'm starting to now. People now say, when I go to McDonald's, they say, can I have a cup of coffee? And he says, senior's coffee, right? And I said, I don't want to use that, but hey, okay. Sometimes I'm in denial, right? I'm in denial, but I can't. It's obvious now, right? So life is full of fears, but we don't have to fear if we have faith. Okay, so fear essentially absent in reality. Oh, so faith essentially absent in reality. That's fear, right? Faith makes wise choices. Wise choices. Moses made a wise choice by faith, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God for a short season, right? Instead of living a life of ease as a son of Pharaoh. Okay? Faith can give us some wisdom to make major decisions, such as this, whether to follow the crowd or to follow Christ. Faith gives us that right decision. If only we trust, right? We will not have a problem of wrong decisions, right? Faith overcomes and also endures, okay? Some receive faith to overcome life trials, while others receive faith to endure the trials. We can have faith whether the fire is quenched or whether it burns, whether the lion's mouth is shut or whether he eats us, whether the jail doors are opened or whether we die there. We must trust God whether we are healed or not in our sick illnesses, right? If we pray about healing and we're healed, we're happy. We can trust God. But when we pray for healing and we're not healed, what happens? Right? What happens? So regardless, whether we're healed or not, whether if we're selling our house, whether we sell our house or not, whether the bullet is stopped or not, guess what? We can have faith. Faith will overcome. Right? So thank God for his grace and privilege of exercising our faith in this wicked generation. Now the question is, do you have that saving faith in Jesus Christ? This saving faith will change your life. Will change your life. He promised that. Right? We are going to heaven instead of going to hell. We will be considered the sons of God instead of being the sons of the devil. Right? And so that's his promise. Now, the question is, do you have an intimate relationship with the Bible so that your faith is growing? That you religiously read the Bible every day, right? You set aside some time to read the book, the Bible, the Word of God. Now, another question is, is your faith being tested? If it is, guess what? Keep going. Keep going. And keep growing, right? Keep on keeping on. Now, what will be the story of my life in regard to faith? Every life is written, by the way, in God's books, right? Hebrews 11, 39 to 40. Let me just read that, and we'll close. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better things for us, and they without us should not be made perfect. Right? So every life is written in God's books. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ?